If you have your Bibles with you, I'd ask you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is where we'll be reading from this morning. As you're turning there, always remember me as your pastor. I want to be found in the will of the Lord. I need the prayers of my church. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In the very first verse, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto the will of God, insomuch we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he should also finish in the same grace also. Therefore, as we abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Dear Lord, we thank you for the goodness and the mercy that you, the kindness that you show us every day. Lord, we thank you that you brought us here this day, Lord, another time to be with your people, Lord, and to preach your word. Lord, this morning we pray that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would use your word, Lord, and that you would stir us up, because we know that's what we stand most in need of. Lord, that the idleness of this world might be set aside and we might focus in on you just for a short time. The things that pulls our heart from you might be set away this morning. We pray for the lost that are here this morning, even by their own testimony, they don't know you in the free pardon of sin, that you might speak life to them today. Lord, that you would save them for glory and honor unto yourself. Lord, cause us to love your word more, and we'd be faithful to give you the praise for it, for it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Now, our thought this morning is really going to be taken from verse 3, and the thought is living in power. Now, we need to be a powerful people. We don't need to be a little anemic pushover people, but we need to be a people that would stand in power with the Lord. Now, we'll see that our God doesn't lack power, so why should we? Our God is not a little anemic God that's trying to accomplish something, but the Bible says that He does everything after the counsel of His own will. And so if we serve a God like that, why do we get down and out? Why do we want to quit? Why is our service so anemic in a day when it's so desperately needed? We need to be powerful people. There's no grace and nothing fashionable about being weak. There's nothing that speaks of Christ even in that. And so Paul begins in the first verse there, "Moreover, brethren." Now, this is Corinth. This is the church that had so many problems, so much sin in the camp. That's what it said concerning Achan back in the Old Testament. He said, listen, there's sin in the camp. Now, this Corinthian church had the same problem, and it was to the extent of this in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians 1. There was a man living with or having a relationship with his stepmother right in the church. And nobody was willing to deal with that. Now, they dealt with some things, they made some things right, and now he tells them about having power in the church, having something within yourself that is more than just the routine. Moreover, brethren, the saved, we do you to wit, that just means we want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, you know what we need? We need some grace bestowed upon us this morning. He goes, I want to tell you what happened down at Macedonia. I want to show you what came down
to know, and not only do I want you to know how it was accomplished at Macedonia, that they were a people that loved God. You know what? What little bit I get to travel and preach, by and large, we're on a downhill run. People are ready and willing to take the average. And in fact, they're willing to let it go on down the hill a little further. That's just the time that we live in. You know what? The Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. So why do we take the excuses of the filthiness of this world to be a reason that we have no power? That we have no strength? That we have... Now, power, not authority, but power meaning strength. The ability to pick something up and get on the move. That is power that this verse is talking about. And that is the power that's largely lacked in many, many, many of the Lord's churches today, is the power that Macedonia had. Verse 2 says, how in great trial of affliction. Now, if you want power, the way that it's accomplished and the way that it's growed is through affliction. Right, Mr. Lumpy? Yeah. Listen, nothing happens by accident. Illness just don't come. And people don't like it. Illness comes two ways. It's either authored by God or He authorizes it. In other words, Satan said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. And God said you can do everything, but you can't take his life. And he had a horrible disease. I don't really know what was going on. I know that he had boils. It was so bad he was scraping himself with a broken pot. I do know that. But you know what? Sometimes God sends it. If you don't believe that, read the Exodus. Those things came from God. Those Lotham's disease that came and fell among the Egyptians, they came directly from God. And so don't tell me that when you have that you have some illness come your way, oh, the devil's attacked me. You don't know that. It may be came from the very throne of grace. You just don't know. And so we see here that as Paul is beginning this, if you want power, if you want strength, it says how that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy. Now, two things that seem kind of contrary: affliction and joy. You know what? When the problem comes up, it ought to well up joy and gladness in our soul. It shouldn't be that we're knocked down and we get the boo-hoos and, oh, what are we going to do now? No, no. Listen, when affliction comes, it's time to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that when we're delivered from an instance that we will give glory and praise to God. Well, thank God He brought me through that. But you hear very few people, when they're on the front end, you don't hear very many say, thank God for bringing me here. Yeah. You hear very few, well, I got cancer, thank God for that. But according to this text, we should. Because God has a better way. He has a reason, even in the midst of trial, and even in the midst of difficulty, our God always works by reason. How that in the great trial of affliction, and the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty. Now, nobody likes being poor. You can say what you want to. And listen, as the old saying goes, been there, done that. I was raised very poor. We had what we had. You know what? It didn't make me to do somersaults, not to have indoor plumbing. I wasn't thrilled about it. It's a difficulty. It really is. That's the type of these people were. They were very impoverished people. But even in that, God had a purpose. He had a design. He had things that he was going to accomplish in that. So if you want to be powerful in the things of God, you have to understand and know that some of these things are going to come your way, and they're not by accidents. Verse 3, "For to their power I bear record." In other words, let me tell you about how powerful they really are. Let me tell you about the strength that the church over there has. And really what he was saying was, Corinth, and the strength that you don't have, the power that you don't possess, let me tell you what's going down on in Macedonia, because that's a powerful people. That's a people that stand for God. That's a people that love God. That's a people that know how to pray. They're powerful people. You think about all the churches you know, true Bible-believing churches, and how many are powerful? How many are powerful? Think about New Testament. That's one most of you know about. How powerful are we? Think about the prayer meeting down at Rhoda's house. Old Peter was down in a jailhouse, and they was going to take his head off coming the sun up. Can I depend on you to be there? If Donna called and said, "Listen, they've arrested Larry. They're going to cut his head off at mid-morning. Could y'all come down here and pray with me?" And listen, that's all they could do. They didn't have, they didn't have judicial injunctions, and they couldn't call the governor. There was nothing, there was no pardon. All they could do is pray. And listen, the church at Jerusalem, that was the First Baptist Church there in Jerusalem, it wasn't a very strong church. You read about it. They had trouble after trouble after trouble. And every time they had trouble, the root problem was this: they didn't trust God. It really was. When he said go, they stayed. And so what happened is he smited them and scattered them all over the earth. And so we find that they're down there praying. And this church at Macedonia had more than they did. They believed God. You know what weak people will make up? A weak church. And you know what strong people will make up? A strong church. So my question would be this morning, what makes a strong believer? What makes a strong Christian? And then, a little deeper than that, is that what you are? What makes you strong? What is this thing that Macedonia had that obviously Corinth, even after getting some things right, Corinth must have not had? "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power or their ability or strength, way beyond that, they are willing of themselves." So the first thing in strength is willingness. The first thing to strength is willingness. "Oh, Brother Larry, I can't do that, blah, 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 blah. I wished I had a dollar for every time I've heard that in 25 years of pastoring." Yes, you can. It's called being willing. You say, "Well, I'm no spokesperson." That way may well be, but you can drive, right? Some of you able to drive. You know what really needs to be is willingness. I'll go. I don't know what to do when I get there, but I'll go. If you're going to spread the gospel, we'll be there. See, that's what these people at Macedonia were made out of. And the only flip side, if Paul is describing the Macedonians as strong, if the willingness lacks, you have to come to the conclusion that the others were weak. They were willing of themselves. Second thing, praying us with much entreaty. How's your prayer life this morning? If you're willing to go, and it's your desire to go, and you want to preach the gospel, or if you're not a preacher, you just want to see people born again, and you want to see the redeemed grow closer to Christ, what's your willingness? Our type of people, and I do not believe in the free will of approaching God, don't get me wrong. Because if He don't come to you, you don't have any hope. But I do believe we use that old sovereignty's excuse to sit on the backside and do nothing. You know all that is? I love this. You know what the Bible says? You'll be without excuse. You can blame them out there for about 2 centuries. And the Lord say, no, you're without excuse.
Yeah.
Don't tell me I can't. Now, one thing you can say to him is, I didn't. Don't mean they are not the same. And so we as the Lord's people, if we want to be as the Macedonians were, and we want to be people that have power with us, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Now, a lot of people get hung up, and I believe the Macedonians were very missionary people. Now, the gift I believe they were talking about was money. And we're not going to get into that today. That's not the purpose of this. But everybody gets hung up on that little money. We're missionary. We give, what do we give maybe in a month's time? Besides special offerings, we give maybe $700 to missionaries, something like that. I don't know. I know it ain't what it ought to be. Because if the Macedonians went bankrupt to do it, we could too.
Well, that's not being a good steward of the Lord's money. Right?
I'm not saying we should bankrupt the church, but I do think we should give liberally. Liberality is what the Bible describes your giving to be. You give it liberally. You give it like it means something. Now, the problem is this. When we give it, let's take a walk. Here. When we give it, do we expect God to do anything with it? Do we expect things to be accomplished with it? Or are we just going through the routine and going through the little motion? These people, when they give, they thought God would do something for it. Praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. Now, do you get that? They wanted them so bad to receive what little bit of money that they scraped up together and could give to Paul and take over to Corinth and to preach to those people. They wanted to be part of the ministry. You know what? You know what the blessing is of sending Brother Downs out of this church to preach the gospel? It is to be part of his ministry. You know what the blessing is when you put some greenbacks back there in the box and Brother Terry writes a mission, we send it down to South America. The blessing is this, is that Brother Allman will use that money to spread the gospel. We ought to be excited about being involved in that. But what I found is it's become routine and a little mundane. We got the mission checks out the door. God help us.
Yeah.
You won't get no strength in that. In fact, it sounds like a whole lot like Laodicea, does it not? Laodicea in Revelation 3 was packed out with money. They had money and despair, but they did not have the presence of God. So if we want to be strong, and I don't know about you, but I want to be strong in the things of the Lord. I want to be powerful. This is where we'll have to be, desiring more than anything else to be involved. Verse 5, and this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Now it went far beyond that little mission money, because the first thing they did before they made the checkout, before they give that gold and silver and put it in Paul's hands, it says here that they give their self to the Lord. Makes me think of Hannah in the Old Testament. She brought Samuel down to the temple and said, he'll be yours for all the days of his life. Handed him over. See, those people, this church at Macedonia did that. Before they ever give the money, the first dollar, and you know what? When they give themselves to the Lord, they may not have even had any money at that time. They were saying, we're going to give ourselves, and whatever the opportunity and whatever the case, because we want to be powerful in the Lord, we give ourselves, we yield ourselves to that. Even today, we need people like that. You talk about a church that mean business with God. That's it. People that are given to the things of God completely and fully, it will get the job done. You want to know what's wrong with the churches today? That's what's wrong with the churches today. Even now, and I noticed I was sitting here and I was looking out the windows a little bit. And you know what? Before I knew it, I was thinking about a test that I have to administer to my students tomorrow. That's not giving myself in the way it ought to be. You know what? That'll take care of itself. It really will. So what we need to do is simply focus on Christ. Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Now, my personal opinion, they wanted Titus to come with him. Now, you think about a small group like us. You think about a couple of preachers. One preacher like me. You know what? In July, I'm going to go over in Missouri and preach. Both the young men that I know that could sub for me are members of that church in Missouri, and they told me they don't want to come. You know what? They were glad to send Titus. You can go. Absolutely, you get the job done. You go in the name of Jesus. That's being strong in the Lord. That's doing what God has called us to do. They weren't worried about numbers or being stressed. Oh, we're down another man. We're down this. We're down that. No, no. What they were excited about was that God was using and willing to use Titus, so they said, go. Verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything. In other words, he says, Corinth, you have it all. You have money, you have people, you have a big congregation. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound also in this grace, or the word is power, strength in verse 2. Be sure you have that too. Be sure you have strength. Be sure you have power. They were, and you think about all the good things they did have. They had faith. They had utterance or preaching and teaching. They had knowledge. They knew the truth of the Bible. And they were very diligent in their studies. But he says, I want you to have power. I want you to have strength too. Now listen, I can go around in 50 miles either way. I can find you 7 churches that stand fully for what we believe in. But do they have strength? Do they have power? That's the big question. Corinth was a 5-pointer. But they didn't have power. Corinth believed in the bride of Christ. But they didn't have power. Macedonia did. So, we have to begin to say, what was different about Macedonia? And you really have to say this, do you want to be like Macedonia? Or do you want to be like Corinth? Which are you satisfied with? You know what? I want a powerful church. If you're down to 5 or 6 people and there's power in it, that is what we stand in need of, is a moving of the power of God. And it comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that it comes. Now, I want you to go with me to back to the book of Acts, and we read of a man, an individual, and churches are made up by people or individuals. I want you to see this concerning Stephen. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. The Bible says, and the word of God increased. Now, you're talking about building some strength. So when the Word of God begins to increase and people begin to get interested in the things of God, you want to be strong in the Lord, you get yourself in this book and you study it and you go through it line by line. That'll make you strong. That was the type of people that the first century church was. And the Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests, the Jewish elite, were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Now, you want to know what's tied to your level of strength or power? What's tied to power is your level of faith. Do you really believe the Bible in its entirety? I do. I have full faith that one day, very soon, the Lord God Jehovah will say, son, go get my children. I'm done with this. The day has arrived. It's time for the celebrations to begin. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit. That's faith. I fully believe in divine healing. God still takes care of illness. That's faith. You know what? If I got sick tonight, more than taking me over to Clarksville to the hospital, I'd be on that phone and say, look, Junior, I don't know what's wrong. Dunn's taking me to the hospital and I need you to pray. Terry, I need you to get on your knees because this don't look too good. You know why? Because it's faith. That is where faith begins. You know, the thing about tragedy is a measure of faith. Think about the Shunammite woman. Remember her? Put that little lean-to on her house for Elisha. That boy died. You remember? She didn't have a... And you talk about some people that can grieve. Jews grieve better than black people. I mean, they throw down. And she didn't do that. She got that little young, and best I understand, she's about 5. She carried him up into the upstairs bedroom and laid him down. She went down to find the prophet. And on the way, people said, Mrs. Shunammite, how's it going? It's good. It's well. Everything's going great. You talk about faith. Everyone that stopped her, it is well. It is well. How are you doing? No boo-hoos, no holly grubs. And when she got there, she caught the prophet by his feet. See, that kind of faith will build your strength, will make you powerful in the things of God. And this old little anemic faith that won't even take you down, won't even bring you to your knees. Listen, there's no room for it in the things of God. And I really believe that our churches are full of that level of faith. And you want to know what's wrong with them? You want to know why we have no power? Well, that's it, because we lack faith. So we find here in Stephen's sense, and Stephen, full of faith and power, notice the results, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, we're not going to get into miracles and wonders, but I'll give you a little fat for chewing this week. Stephen wasn't an apostle. You remember that. It wasn't apostolic gifts, because the best we know about Stephen, he wasn't even qualified to be an apostle. In fact, the best we learned about Stephen, he died as a deacon. That's all. And listen, deaconship is a great work. And it is a real office according to the Word of God. And he died as a deacon, stoned to death, because he believed the truth. That was his end. But here we, how did he end up that point, to the point where he says, Lord, forgive them, they don't know what they do? How did he get to that point? How is his faith that strong? How did he die in the power that he died in? He believed God. And I believe as he went along the way, his power increased, his strength increased. He became stronger and stronger and stronger in the things of God. And I want you to see the result in his life. People hated him for it. They weren't rejoicing. They weren't doing flip-flops and glory to God. No, no. Hey, what he got a good stoning out of it. So listen, if you want power with God, if you want to be a powerful witness for who He is, don't you expect the accolades of this world, because they will not happen.
Right.
Few of the faithful might be glad for you, but listen, don't you expect this stinking, filthy world to be doing somersaults for you, because they won't. Now, very briefly, I want to give you a warning. Acts 26. You're talking about being powerful. Acts 26 in verse 18. Paul giving his testimony and telling what happened the day the Lord saved him. In verse 18, he says, to open their eyes, meaning his reason for going to the Gentiles, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Now, you know, I don't remember a whole lot. Miss Chloe Lewis was my English teacher for about 4 years, and she got a little bit up here into me finally, but it says, from the power of Satan unto God. Now, if that sentence is structurally correct, you could also say, from the power of Satan unto the power of God. Because it's that power is an objective phrase, I think is what they used to call it. And it means it can be repeated. So we have to drain from that Satan is a very, very real power. You know, I'll say this, without the help of God, you're no match for it. In fact, I believe it is over when the angels, when Satan was hunting for the body of Moses, the advice was to say, the Lord rebuke you. Don't take Satan on for yourself. You're no match for him. But our God can. And he is a very powerful entity. So if he is a powerful entity, and he certainly is, then we need to be powerful as well. And we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 in verse 2. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, what does that say? To me, it says that they're lost or in a power of the devil. Listen, if you've not been truly redeemed, you're a wide open game. Remember Mary Magdalene in the Bible? One thing always reminds, she had a love for Jesus. That's something that always sticks in my mind about Mary. She loved Jesus. Wanted to do anything she could for him. But the second thing always sticks in my mind about Mary Magdalene, of whom 7 devils were cast out. That sticks in my mind about Mary Magdalene too. And the reason she loved Jesus is because those devils were gone. See, we as Baptist people, we don't like to talk about demonic possession, but it's real.
Absolutely.
We don't like to talk about devils being about us, but they are. In fact, the Bible says, concerning Legion, there were at least, who knows, everybody says 2,000 because 2,000 hogs died. But listen, each one of those hogs could have had 7 in them. Who knows? All we know is when God said, "Who are you?" is that they said, "We're legion because we're many. There's hundreds of us." You know what? If I was lost, that'd make my hair stand up on the end of my head. Demonism is real, y'all. Demonic possession is a reality that our church is way too long having. And in ignoring them and teaching and preaching about that, I'm willing to say the church is full of it. And so we see then that the counterpart of this and being powerful in the things of God is, you remember, the devil is powerful, his imps are powerful, and the lost that don't know Christ, they can be influenced and possessed of devils any time. And the more they expose themselves to this stinking, ungodly world, the more likelihood it is to happen. That's what you watch. You be very careful what you watch on TV. You be very, very careful the filthy, stinking music you listen to. You be very cautious of it. When I began to see some truth, and a young man, me and Donna was dating. Before we married, I really began to look at some of the rock groups that I listened to. And I began to be disturbed. There's a video out there, I hadn't seen it in a long time, trying to search the internet for it, but you can. Find out why the Beatles called themselves the Beatles. You do that for me, and we'll talk about it Wednesday night. And that was just the beginning. That was just the beginning. And so we see then, knowing this, what we ought to do, if we want to be strong in the things of God and strong in His strength and powerful to do His work and powerful in prayer and powerful in preaching, if that's really what we want, we're going to have to shun some of this stuff, get rid of it, put it aside, don't let it within us, and that way we can be powerful in the things of the Lord. And many times, truthfully, we're simply not willing to do that. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Back close to our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 6. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, For though I would desire to glory. Now, preaching men have to be very careful of this. People that God has given, instilled a gift to sing have to be very careful of this. And that is the wrong kind of glory. Of being proud of yourself. And liking to hear. Be very cautious about that. I deliberately try, both within myself and truthfully say, although I have to say sometimes it does become a habit. When someone says that was a that Brother Larry, that message was a great blessing to me, I try to never say thank you. And the reason why, it's not me. I say, well, praise the Lord for it. And when I say that, I mean it. You give God the credit for it. You give the Lord the praise that is due Him for that. Because I had nothing to do with it. And so Paul was that kind of man. And Paul was much, much greater than me. And no doubt a very powerful preacher and used greatly of God. And so he, knowing this of himself, said, For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I won't be that foolish, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or he that heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. Now, a lot of people will make different comments. I tend to kind of agree with the philosophy that it was probably his eyes. I don't know that for sure. But he did have a real ailment, whatever it was. To the point, at least, immediately after meeting the Lord, he had to be led around. Now, I can't see much without these, but I could make it downstairs without Donna helping me. But when it comes to reading, regular font, about right here is where it comes into line. And that's kind of, remember when Paul wrote, I think it was the second one to Corinth, maybe this letter, or maybe it was 1 Thessalonians. He says, you see how big a letter I write. In other words, he was having to write big just so he could see what he had written. And there's another one that said it was recorded of Timothy. In other words, Timothy was taking the dictation. And he says, this was given. You know what? It gets back to this again. If you want to be powerful, you may have to endure some affliction. He never got his vision back fully. And keep him where he needed to be. And sometimes physical illness never leaves you. And the best thing I tell you you have to do with it is to endure it like a godly servant and continue on, because it's just how it is. The messenger of Satan, he continues on in verse 7, the messenger of Satan to buffet me lest I should be exalted among measure, above measure, to buffet him, to put him down, to slow him up in what he was doing. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. You know what? you won't get everything you ask for. It's just not going to happen. And I'll tell you this, you don't even know what's good for you. You may think you do, but you don't. I don't. I think I know what's the best course to take, but God does. And so he says, I prayed about it. I sought the Lord 3 different times. And listen, Paul was no prayer like you and I. When he prayed, he meant business with God. This wasn't praying 3 nights, Lord, please give me my vision back. I really needed to serve you. No. He you know, it could have took him 3 or 4 years just to get a hold of God, really, and a heartfelt prayer over the situation. See, that's the thing. If we want to be strong and we want to be powerful, we go learn what prayer is. And it's not just some other routine, anemic stuff that we write off as prayer. You know what prayer is when you leave that place, you know you've gotten a hold of God. That's the time of prayer. And so, I don't know how long it took him or what it is. He says, I sought the Lord 3 different times. I sought him thrice over this. And notice what it says in verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, you get that down because we're talking about being powerful or strong in the Lord. He says, it happens in weakness. It happens with the little things. It happens with the small. My weakness, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then he says in the second part of verse 9, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might be upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. Now, if you write in your Bible, kind of star that in necessities. He says, I'm going to glory in necessities. Now, a necessity is food and raiment. That was in the Lord Jesus' ministry. He told us what we needed was something to wear and something to eat. Right? You know what? Before I left this morning, I stood in front of my closet, like, what am I going to wear? And I looked and looked and looked and looked. You know what? And the Lord told me, like, you have so much to wear, you can't even decide what you want to wear. And half of it's at the dry cleaner. I left it at the dry cleaner so long ago, a letter from them. I just forgot it was up there. And that's only half a portion of what I have. So why can't I be content? You know what I have for breakfast? And don't get down on the shelf and fix it something. I had a bowl of Fruit Loops. I love Fruit Loops. Then I have everything that I was promised right there. That's what was necessary, right? That's all I needed. And so Paul said, I will glory in that. I will glory in the fact that I have something to eat. And I will glory in the fact that I have something to wear. And I will give him praise and glory and honor. And we're so rich and wealthy. And I do mean those words for what they are, because we are. We're such a rich, wealthy nation. We don't even understand what that means. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So you want to be strong in the Lord. You want to be powerful in the Lord. You get weak on self. You get where you're not so hung up about what you're thinking and what you think needs to be done. And you begin to depend on the Lord. And even if illness has to come your way to bring you down and put you where you need to be, then so be it. I thought a lot about his vision. You know, as he was walking down to Damascus to break up the church down there, it says a bright light shone around and brought him down to his knees. You know what illness does a lot of times? It brings us to our knees. And that's exactly where we need to be. Amen. Raise you up strong again in the things of the Lord. So I ask you about your own strength. And I mean your spiritual strength this morning, because I can't really tell. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're, but I will say this. In strength is attached to happiness. In strength is attached to the desire to be in the house of the Lord. And so if you get here and you're happy, that's a pretty strong and good indication. But if you get here and you're miserable and you're thinking about what's on the back 40 and what you have to do at work tomorrow and why these other people aren't as good as you are, listen, there's no strength in that.
Yeah.
That's weakness. And this is the other thing. It's a lot more obvious than you think. It really is. So are you strong or are you weak? Do you want to be strong? I'll point you to the Lord.